Good morning. We have 29 degrees outside our studios at Friends Plaza in Urbana. The time now is 8:50, and it's time for the pre-opening market report on WILL, our last pre-opening market report of 2012. And Dave Dickey has it for you. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jim. And I guess Happy New Year, as this is our last broadcast of the year. The yen fell further today, hitting a fresh 28-month low against the dollar and a fresh 17-month low against the euro, as expectations continue that the new Japanese government will take steps quickly to weaken the country's currency in support of the economy. Japan's finance minister held talks with the Bank of Japan's chief financial officer today over how to strengthen coordination between the government and the central bank. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending December the 20th. The numbers look like this: in millions of bushels, wheat this year, 37.1. Corn this year, 4.1. And soybeans this year, 3.2. Also this morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 165,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 2012 and 13 marketing year, and export sales of 30,000 metric tons of soybean oil for delivery to unknown destinations during the 2012 and 13 marketing year. The marketing year for soybeans began on September 1st. For soybean oil, it was October the 1st. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 13,013, is down 83 points. The NASDAQ 2970 is down 15. The S&P 500, 1408, is down 9.5 points.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Two more storm systems will likely impact the eastern part of the country as we move forward through the next 5 to 7 days, but neither of the storms will be anywhere near as significant as the event that just passed through the region. We're expecting to see this first disturbance focusing on hard red winter wheat country as we go through the Sunday-Monday time period. Moisture coming across Mexico will likely stream through Texas and into portions of Oklahoma, Kansas, and Missouri before shifting off to the east, and all of these areas will end up seeing precipitation as we move deeper into the early part of next week. Initially, though, we will see precipitation in portions of north-central Texas and Oklahoma running a quarter to three-quarters of an inch. Some local totals may be getting over an inch in a couple of spots in the easternmost parts of wheat country. The majority of areas from the Texas Panhandle into central Kansas, however, will not do very well with this particular event. A wintry mix of moisture will likely occur and will likely see totals running a few hundredths of an inch upwards to perhaps 15 hundredths of an inch, and that's about as good as it's going to get there. The bottom line is the drought, which is still very serious in the western and northern portions of the plains and northwestern Corn Belt, will continue without much of an opportunity for change over the next few weeks. We fully expect to come into the month of March with the same moisture deficits that we have out there today still prevailing. In the meantime, the storm system I've mentioned for hard red winter wheat country will move through the Ohio River Basin as we get into the Monday and Tuesday time period. During that period, we'll likely see another period of wintry mixed precipitation types occurring across the region, with some snow that will accumulate in some locations from Missouri into parts of Ohio, and a little freezing drizzle or freezing rain possible, and then rain in the lower portions of the Ohio River Valley, the Delta, the Tennessee River Basin, and the southeastern states. Again, all of this will occur no sooner than Monday morning and will continue as we move on into Tuesday morning for some locations. In fact, there'll be a little bit of morning still continuing in parts of Georgia and northern Florida as we get into Tuesday night. That storm system will be followed by a high-pressure center that will settle in over the Midwest. A short-term bout of cooler weather will occur again across the region. And then as the high-pressure system abates from the region, we could generate another storm system across part of the region. Right now, the models are kind of dragging their feet a little bit on when that will occur or if it will occur, so we'll keep a close eye on that, most likely to be a little later next week. But it does not look like we'll see any kind of major storm system for the Midwest for a while thereafter. Now, the temperature outlook across the region is going to continue to be relatively cool. We'll look for high temperatures today, running in the 30s and some 20s across the majority of the region. There will be some colder temperatures from Nebraska into parts of Minnesota and the Dakotas, where we'll see some teens occur. And we'll expect to see tomorrow afternoon's temperatures mostly in the teens and 20s across a big part of the Midwest, with some 30s in the far east and extreme south. As we move on into Sunday, well, temperatures will still be running in the teens and 20s in the north, but we will see some 40-degree readings starting to show in portions of Kansas and Missouri, while 30s will occur in the remainder of the southern portions of the Midwest. And then our low temperatures at night over these next few nights are expected to drop back into mostly single digits and teens in the western Corn Belt, but there will be some sub-zero readings in portions of Minnesota, Wisconsin, maybe a couple of northern Iowa counties, and in portions of South Dakota, and even a couple spots in Nebraska, possibly. Most other lows across the Midwest will be mostly teens and 20s through the first part of next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you, Drew. Here is the electronic trade in Kansas City. March wheat, 827.5, up 4.25. In Chicago, March wheat is at 777.75, now 78, up 5.75. March corn, 691.25, down 0.25. July, 691.5, down 0.5. December 13, 597, up 1. January soybeans, 1421, up 2.25. July, 1404, up 2.5. November, 1303.5, up 1. January soybean meal, 429, down 80. January soybean oil, 4867, up 38. December live cattle, 129.05, up 20. January feeders, 151.17.5, down 10. And February lean hogs, 87.05, up 2.5. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
It's a sleepy day in Mudville.
Yeah, sure. Seems like it's been kind of a sleepy week, actually. But we've kind of had, for the week, we're kind of down here from last week. I think on corn and beans, we are still, you know, inside trade compared to the previous week. But on wheat, we're actually down below some of the lows that we had last week on wheat. So, you know, negative trend. I think we're getting oversold enough that it wouldn't be a total surprise to maybe see a little bit of a bounce off the oversold conditions, but don't really see anything to take us out of that downward trend here right now.
Well, we did have export sales in the wheat of 37.1 million bushels, and for a while there, that perked up the wheat market, but even it's starting to drift back.
Yeah, kind of. That's the kind of markets we've been seeing, is when we do try to get any kind of low rally, it seems like it gets sold pretty good. Several reasons. I think we've had some people positioning. We had fund liquidation. We had positioning, you know, prior to the reallocations, which are going to be a lot more selling, I think, this year than the last couple of years. But and the fiscal cliff thing, you know, I think that's still, my opinion is that probably a solution is better than no solution at all. I mean, just the uncertainty of not knowing what's going to happen. So we'll see, I guess, what happens on that.
Exports for soybeans, the inspections were 42.4, and shipments last week at 49.6. That's pretty good numbers, but I don't think next week we're going to see very much.
Yeah, I think you know, we saw some results of the cancellations there on the sales side of it. Meal, some good, decent numbers on meal, but maybe a little bit lower than expectations. But corn just kind of continues to be no sales of exports on corn at all.
I guess I'm getting to the idea that there's going to be a dock strike next week down there at the Gulf, but it don't matter because nothing's going to go down there anyway.
Yeah, and one thing that we saw was on the wheat, we did get wheat prices, U.S. wheat prices, to where they're competitive or below some of the global numbers, and we did see some wheat sales. And I think that's, you know, that's what it takes. If we can see corn prices get competitive, you know, maybe we can eventually see some sales, but they're just not competitive enough, I guess.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Dave. Have a good New Year's.
Happy New Year to you, too. Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace. March corn, 690 and three quarters, down three quarters. July, 691, down one. December, 596 and a half, up a half. January, soybeans, 1421 and a quarter, up two and a half. March, 1417 and a quarter, up three and a quarter. July, 1404 and a half, up three. And November, soybeans are 1307, up four and a half. January soybean meals, 429 down 80. January soybean oil, 4873 up 44. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.